Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this gloomy, gloomy Monday morning. Monday, June the 26th, 2023. 15 minutes past the hour, 66 degrees and mostly cloudy skies here in Marion. Now, I want to talk about summer in Marion here so far. Now, summer came at 10:58 a.m. last Wednesday morning, June the 21st. Now, that day, if I remember right, the weather was okay. It wasn't that bad. And then Thursday night, it started to turn rainy, dark. Friday, pretty much all day on and off, was rainy, dark. Saturday, it was rainy and dark in the morning, but it cleared up in the afternoon. Yesterday, all week, yesterday started off with storms, and then we kept talking about these horrible storms that were supposed to come in last night that never came, and apparently they might come this afternoon. So this has been summer in Ohio so far. Now, the temperatures have been warm. We certainly have had the humidity, but rain. Now, I don't know. I thought there was a saying a long time ago about rain for the first few days of summer, that's a sign of something. It's a sign of a wet summer is what it is so far. But a lot of precipitation so far as summer has come in here. Now, this is good, though, for my garden, because as many of you know, I have three different types of tomato plants. I have celery out there, and it's all growing. It's coming up. But no tomatoes yet, no celery, but I wouldn't think there would be. It's only been out there about 2 weeks. But certainly getting watered pretty good, and I think the weather conditions are pretty good for it. And I'll also tell you, I have the daylilies, which I've said this before. Took me a long time to figure out what these things were, the daylilies, because they were here before I moved into this house more than 8 years ago. And I never knew what they were. It's a strange plant because it does not bloom until late June, early July, depending on the weather. Hasn't bloomed yet this year, and we're in obviously late June here now. And what happens is it blooms, and you get these really, really, really nice flowers. They're kind of a maroon color. They're yellow on the inside. And I have, I think, three bushes of them. And then they're out there, and they look nice, and then the first time a big storm comes in and blows the petals off, that's the end of the daylilies. And you don't see them again until the following year. Now, I went outside probably Saturday, and I was looking at the garden, and I did notice that the daylilies now have the little sprouts on them. Now, they certainly have not bloomed, but it looks like they are just about ready to pop. So it looks like photosynthesis is definitely happening with the daylilies, but I'm hoping they hold off until after the big storm that's supposed to come in today. So I think they will, because they haven't popped as of this morning, so highly unlikely they're going to pop in the next few hours, but the daylilies even popping late this year. I know they're usually out there during July 4th, but definitely not out there so far. So that's the update on the weather, and that's the update on the garden that I've got going here. You know something else? That whole bit yesterday with the weather, you know, they were out there scaring people again. And I don't know if it's because this past winter they did not get to scare people enough with big storms, because we did not have many big storms this past winter. I think we really only had one, and that was the day before Christmas Eve. But now, they're trying to scare people with high winds and hail, and it's going to be an awful storm. Well, again yesterday, God bless their heart, these meteorologists look like idiots, because they kept saying this all day, and, you know, it's going to come at 4 o'clock, it's going to come at 5 o'clock, it's going to come at 6 o'clock, it's going to come at 8 o'clock, it's going to come late in the night. It never came. And now, again, I'm not saying it's not going to come this afternoon. I see the weather report again, and it says heavy rain at some point today. But they amped up this storm yesterday to where they got people talking again, and they got people, oh, I got to get to the grocery store this afternoon before the storm hits. And I even think some of the electric companies sent out notices that electricity could be lost. So, you know, they just worried people, and nothing happened. And I don't know where the information comes from. I understand the weather is a volatile situation, but to change that quickly and completely miss us, I don't know what happened. I think it went to the north or something like that yesterday, but there you have it. If anybody has anything to say about that weather situation or the weather so far this summer, let me know. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Heaven knows we're starting out here on a gloomy Monday morning. Was talking to a few people about that this morning. About, boy, here we are again, another gloomy work week. You know, it's nice to drive to work in the morning with the sun shining. The gloomy weather, I can do without. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, do want to let you know, and maybe this is why I'm talking about the weather so much this morning, because 1 week from today is the start of the Marion County Fair, and we're pretty much locked in for that now. Looking forward to that. And I just want to say again that the morning show, the show I'm doing right now, will not be broadcast from the Marion County Fair. Now, this is for two reasons. Number one, the building that we will be in, I don't think it opens till 9 o'clock. So that would be right in the middle of the morning show. So there would really be no way to do that. And number two, between 8 and 10 in the morning, there's really not a whole lot of people wandering around the fair. So it's kind of hard to get guests. It's kind of hard to get vendors and politicians and people who show their animals, 4-H and FFA and all those people. It's kind of hard to get those people between 8 and 10 in the morning. So what will happen, and we'll have this nailed down a little more as the week goes on. What will happen is I'll be on every morning next week. And then we will have fair shows throughout the day. Now, how it looks at this point is we will have shows that I will do. And I know Pastor Craig, who you heard on the station on Friday, will be doing some shows with me next week. And I believe he'll be doing a couple shows on his own. And also, I know that there is somebody who is versed in the fair. And I think she'll be with us for the first few days of the fair. I think for the first 3 days of the fair, as I understand it. So as soon as we have the times of these shows, I will let you know. And when I'm on every morning next week, I'll let you know exactly the times we will be at the show or at the fair, what times Pastor Craig will be on, what time I'll be on, who my guest will be. So we'll be at the fair. We'll be broadcasting from there, and it'll be a lot of fun. Now, I am not sure of the expertise, or as they used to say, expertise, of the person who is going to join me the first few days of the fair to talk about animals and things like that. But I guess, see, I did not know any of this. I guess they used to show at the fair, and I get for a long period of time, like 10 years, and I guess their kids used to show at the fair. So this will be a great help. as we go into the fair broadcast next week. And we'll also have a lot of guests at the fair and things like that. Fun stuff. And I know a lot of the station people will be at the fair. I'm pretty sure Matt is coming over. As I said, Pastor Craig will be there. I'm pretty sure that Sean will be there at certain times. So we'll have station people there, and it'll be a lot of fun next week. Now, I'll tell you something I did do this past weekend is I have a Marion County Fair fair book. So now I'm really dangerous when it comes to the fair, because now I have a fair book. Now, I can give you some information now about the Marion County Fair. The Marion County Fair will run from July the 3rd through July the 8th, 2023, 6 days and six nights. Now, harness racing will happen Monday and Tuesday starting at 11 a.m. Tough Truck will be Monday at 7:30. Fireworks will be Tuesday, July the 4th at 10 p.m. The Truck Pool will be Wednesday the 5th at 7:30. The Tractor Pull will be Thursday the 6th at 7:30. The Rodeo will be Friday the 7th at 7:30. And the Demo Derby, which I know is a lot of people's favorite, will be Saturday the 8th at 6:30. Now, as far as... by the way, it's the 173rd Marion County Fair. Senior Citizen and Canned Food Day will be Monday. Now, this is how it's always been in the past. If you are a senior citizen or you bring a can of food up until a certain time that day, you get in for free. So that's Monday. Veterans Day will be Friday. If you're a veteran, again, up until a certain time, I think it's a little, it's in the afternoon, I believe. If I had read this whole fair book, I probably know this by now. But Veterans Day is Friday. Kids Day is Wednesday, and that's the special days of the fair. So Senior Citizens and Canned Food Day Monday, Kids Day Wednesday, and Veterans Day on Friday. So that's how that will all shake out, and of course we'll be at the Marion County Fair, and won't the excitement be great for that? You know, I'm trying to flip through this very quickly to see what... I know those freebies don't last all day, but I'm trying to remember how long that lasts, where you can bring a can of food or be a senior citizen or be a veteran and get in for free. I know it's somewhere in this book because it's a thick book. I know somewhere in here it's going to say that. Here we go. Found it. Mary, well, okay, we're getting a phone call here. Let's take the phone call and we'll come back to this here. Well, I don't think that was a phone call for us, so maybe we'll come back to that in just a moment. Okay, Marion County Fair discount days. Monday, July the 3rd, 8 a.m. to noon. That's how that'll work. Monday, 8 a.m. to noon. Free admission with a canned food item until noon. Rides sold separately, no return hand stamps when admitted free. So it's 8 a.m. till noon. Senior Citizens Day and Canned Food Day. Monday, July the 3rd. Wednesday on Kids Day, kids 12 and under, admitted free from 8 a.m. until noon. Rides sold separately. Rides open at noon on that day. And then Friday, July the 7th, 8 a.m. to noon, is Veterans Day. Veterans with ID and one guest admitted free until noon. Again, rides sold separately. So there you go. That's how that will all shake out. And like I said, the fair is going to be very interesting this year because you see everybody you know at the fair. The fair is just one of those events where you see everybody you know. So this year, and like there has been it every year at the fair, there is always some kind of havoc. And I don't know why that is. Most of the time, I have not been involved in any havoc. Personally, I don't know that I've ever been involved in any havoc at the fair, but it always seems like there's always some kind of havoc. And I think it's because it's one of those things that everybody goes to and everybody gets involved somehow. So there could be havoc at the fair. So not only do you want to listen to these broadcasts, you got to listen for the havoc, because you never know who you might run into at the fair and what might happen, because everybody is around there. So that will be next week, 1 week from today. What a time we'll have at the old Marion County Fair. And if you want to know anything about the fair, I can try to peruse the fair book for you this morning. So the phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right. What else do we have here? Oh, okay. You know, Friday night show, we had a lot of fun. Now, Matt and Sean and I were on Friday night, and we got a lot of phone calls, which I like. But we did something on Friday, and I don't even know on Friday if I explained why or how it happened. But what happened on Friday was we did a top 10 list. Now, this is completely ripped off from David Letterman. I'm not even going to try to say it's not. David Letterman did top 10 lists on his show for 30 years. And Friday night, we did a top 10 list of nicknames given to me. Now, here's the reason we did this. What happened was, last week, I was given a nickname on this show by Abby. And the nickname was profane. Not even something you could say on the radio. And she called me this twice last week. And I said, well, that's not going to work for a nickname because, you know, you can't even say that. So I need better nicknames. So she ended up shooting me off a bunch of nicknames last week. And right before the Friday show, I realized that she had sent me 10 nicknames. Exactly 10 nicknames. So a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, hey, you know what? She gave me 10 nicknames. Why don't we do this as a top 10 list for people who might not have heard it? So Friday night, we had the drum roll. We had the nicknames. We did the whole thing. And, you know, some of them went over very well. I think people liked Scottish cheese. I think people liked, Scottato chips. I don't have the list in front of me right now. But I think Scottify. I know Scottify was a popular one. So we had a lot of fun with that. Now, what this means is we will have to have a top 10 list every week. Now, I don't know how well that will go because I don't know how well, how prolific. Now, I've always said this. Abby's a good writer, but I don't know how prolific she can be in cranking out a top 10 list every week. Now, it can be any subject, any category, anything, but you got to have 10, I guess, entries in that top 10 list. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see, you know, I'm bringing it up here on Monday morning. So we'll see if by Friday night we have a top 10 list. Now, did people like the top 10 list on Friday with the drum roll and the build up and the nicknames? Do you like that? Is that something you like? Because the Friday night show seems to be gaining a lot of attraction. We heard from Lee on Friday night. We heard from Scott on Friday night. We heard from Sarah on Friday night. You know, we heard from a lot of our friends out there, and I thought it was good. So my question is, what did you think of the Friday night show and the top 10 list? Do you think the top 10 list should be a new fixture on the Friday night show with Matt and Sean and myself? And apparently this Friday, we're going to have another person added to the Friday night show. Now, I don't know if that'll be permanent, but I know it will be this week, I think. You know, people come and go on that show, but I certainly think it's doing better now than I think it's ever done, because I really do have a lot of fun on Friday night now. Being with those guys and whoever else happens to show up in the studio, we've had Olivia there, we've had Mary Ellen Withrow there, we've had Camden there. It always seems to be a lot of fun on Friday night. It's like getting together with friends and essentially having a party, because we're not really talking current events. It's just fun stuff. And you never know what anybody is going to say. Does anybody have any thoughts on the new Friday night show that we started up back in April? I think it's at the height right now. Now the Friday night show has been around for a while. I think we started it back in early 2020. So it's been around for more than 3 years now, about 3.5 years. And we've had some different hosts on that show, co-hosts, I guess is what I should say. And they've been fine. There certainly has been nothing wrong with them. But I just think we have a group now that is really solid. And I hope you're enjoying the Friday night show. And by the call volume and people, you know, one thing last week that struck me about the Friday night show was that Scott called in and said for 3 weeks he has made it a point to listen to the Friday night show. So that tells me something. And I certainly appreciate that. So if you have any thoughts on the Friday night show, give me a buzz here, 35 minutes past the hour. And did you like the top 10 list? And do you think that is something we should continue doing on Friday night? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, it's not going to be nicknames every week. It'll have to be different categories. But I think it's fun. And it's fun to have somebody else write it. Because I'll read just about anything that somebody else writes, as long as it's not profane in any way. So, if anybody has any thoughts on that, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. All right. Well, we had Pastor Craig, and he'll be with us at the fair. We had him back in the studio with us on Friday. And I thought we had a great conversation with Matt and Pastor Craig and myself. And by the way, the two of them had never met until right before we went on the air Friday from 12 to 1. And I thought we had a great conversation about the whole Titanic situation. We talked about it on Friday morning. We talked about it on Friday night. So I'm not going to get into it anymore this morning. But I just thought we had a really solid conversation about what happened, how the media covered it, the Titanic submarine. And where do we go from here? Are people going to be able to sue? Should they sue? What's going to be the deal with that? So I certainly appreciated Pastor Craig coming in on Friday and partaking in that show. That's a lot of fun. You know, once you're with this station at any point in your lifetime, most of the time you're always welcome back. I can't think of anybody who's ever been blackballed. Now, there are a few people I wouldn't necessarily want to see in the studio at this point, but no grudges against them. But Pastor Craig was great on Friday, so that was a lot of fun. Okay, we talked about the weather. Saturday. I had an interesting day on Saturday. You know, Saturday was a funny day because I had a lot of chores that I needed to get done in regard to getting ready for some events coming up. And I did not think it was going to be much of an entertaining day. Plus, I thought the weather was supposed to be pretty bad on Saturday. I know it was definitely wet, left over from Friday. But I ended up getting out to a lot of places. On Saturday, I went over... Well, I started at Del Taco. Went to lunch at Del Taco. I'd only been to Del Taco one other time, and it was right after they first opened. And I went over to Del Taco, and I got one of their chicken quesadillas. And I'll tell you, that is not bad at all. Now, I had a chicken quesadilla back in, was it February when they opened? February or March. I had one of their chicken quesadillas, and it was very good. But at that time, they were just opening, and they were kind of overwhelmed. When I was there on Saturday for lunch, it was not overwhelming at all. The place was, you know, fairly busy. Had a chicken quesadilla. It was very good. So that's how I started off the day on Saturday. Then I went from Del Taco. Now this was kind of fun. I went over. Now here was the deal. I am fascinated in a way by Marion history, and one of the things I'm fascinated with is the Sawyer Sanitarium. Now I'll tell you why I'm fascinated with the Sawyer Sanitarium, because when Florence Harding, former First Lady of the United States, came back from Washington to Marion, it has always been said she went to the Sawyer Sanitarium. But there's a lot of confusion about the Sawyer Sanitarium. Because, now, and here's where the confusion starts. Now, I think the Sawyer Sanitarium started where Sawyer Ludwig Park is. And I guess there were cottages out there where people could stay. Now, I don't know if those cottages eventually became the meeting rooms and houses that were out there. I don't know. I don't know how that all happened. But I can report, because I was at Sawyer Ludwig Park on Saturday, that all those old meeting rooms and meeting houses and all those places out there are gone. Now, the last time I was out there, I think there were still a couple left. Maybe a couple years ago, but they're all gone now. There are no more of the meeting rooms, meeting houses. I think they ended up condemning them all. I remember a few years ago, the Lions Club was still meeting out there, but I think now they condemned them and certainly have demolished all of those places. Now, I don't know if those were the cottages or if those were just part of the sanitarium. I don't really know. So we'll go out to Sawyer Ludwig Park on Saturday. And clearly there's nothing left there that would say Sawyer Sanitarium. No historical markers, nothing. So then, I look up Sawyer Sanitarium, and I see that the Sawyer Sanitarium was also on Main Street. Now, the sanitarium on Main Street is right across from the Trinity Baptist Church. It used to be apartment buildings. Now, here's another thing. I thought that those apartment buildings were still operational because the last time I passed by there, you would see, and I'm not on that side of town very often, but you would see people sitting outside. You would see, you know, because they did have like balconies. You would see people sitting outside or sitting on the stoops outside. So I thought, well, going over there might be kind of difficult because people are living there. Well, when I got over there on Saturday, I realized nobody's living there anymore. I don't know if the building is condemned because there are strings on the steps, or wires, I guess I should say. There are wires on the staircases that lead up to the doors trying to prevent people from getting up there. And clearly nobody's living there anymore. And it looks like everybody just got up and left. Because there's lawn furniture, there's curtains hanging in the windows, there's all kinds of stuff still there. But it clearly is no longer open. And that was the Sawyer Sanitarium at one point. So I don't know if that apartment building on Main Street is where Florence Harding was, or if she did have a cottage out at Sawyer Ludwig Park. Because I'll tell you what this all speaks to is, where did she die? Which, maybe we'd have to go and look at newspaper clippings from that era. I really don't know what other way to figure this out. Because it seems to me that the Sawyer Sanitarium on Main Street was the main Sawyer Sanitarium. And it clearly was divided up into apartments. Now, what was out at Sawyer Ludwig Park? I don't know. Maybe that's where the cottages were. Did the cottages used to be on Main Street somewhere? I'm sure it was less developed back in the early 1900s, 1920s. And there was also a report that Florence Harding died at Dr. Sawyer's home, which maybe that's true as well. I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? The whole thing. Does anybody know anything about the Sawyer Sanitarium? Or why that apartment building is now closed, or why what is left of the Sawyer Sanitarium out at Sawyer Ludwig Park, because everything is pretty well gone out there. There are no historical markers at either one of these places. Now, I also find that interesting because Dr. Sawyer was President Harding's doctor. And in the room when he died, I believe Dr. Sawyer pronounced him dead, is my understanding on that fateful trip that he died on, that train trip. And also, the fact that that was the last place that Florence Harding lived and possibly died, I think would have some significance. But there is no historical marker. There is nothing like that here in Marion. And then I got to thinking to myself, is there any historical marker that is strictly about Florence Harding? I know there are things that have to do with President Harding. I know there are things that have to do with Norman Thomas. I know there are things that have to do with the Underground Railroad. But is there anything, any historical markers in Marion that strictly have to do with Florence Harding, former First Lady of the United States? None that I can think of, but maybe somebody can straighten me out on this. Again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. So, if anybody has any information on the old Sawyer Sanitarium, or anybody remembers it out at Sawyer Ludwig Park, or anybody remembers these cottages, or does anybody know why the Sawyer Sanitarium, what the purpose of it was on Main Street, across from Trinity Baptist Church, or does anybody knows when and why those apartments closed up? Let me know here. 740-751-4038. You know, this kind of falls into the Marilyn Meskey category we were talking about last week. Former Miss America from Marion, two-time Miss Ohio, but there's really nothing around here that would tell you that we had a Miss America, or that she was a two-time Miss Ohio. There's no historical marker. There's really nothing. I don't even know. I know the Historical Society has her gown, and I know they have a few other items pertaining to Marilyn Meskey, but other than that, I don't know if there's even anything at the Historical Society that would tell you anything about Marilyn Meskey. So, we went to the Sawyer Sanitarium, and that was a lot of fun. Then we did something that I really enjoy, because if you know me at all, you know that I love baseball. Baseball, probably my favorite sport. And also, the Chicago Cubs, probably my favorite team. Now, I don't know how many people know this story, but I think some do now, that back in 1920, I believe September the 5th, 1920, as President Harding was running for office, the Chicago Cubs came to Marion to play an exhibition game with the Kerrigan Tailors. Now, President Harding, I guess, pitched in that game. I think he just pitched for one person. I think he struck out the first person. Well, he wasn't President Harding then. He was still Senator Harding. But they played the game over at Lincoln Park in the big stadium. And there's some pictures of this that I believe have been published on the internet and published in the newspaper. So I thought, well, I'm going to go over to Lincoln Park. I have not been to that ball field in a while. So I go over to Lincoln Park after I leave the Sawyer Sanitarium. And, you know, that ball field, they've really done some nice renovation on that. And there were actually, now this did my heart well, there were actually a couple kids out there who were playing ball on Saturday as I was out there. So went out there and just, you know, it's so interesting to sit in the stands with a couple of kids out there playing ball and to think that the Chicago Cubs and President Harding played baseball on this field in 1920, September 5th, 1920. For a baseball person, that's just fascinating. And I did a little video out there, like a minute and a half video, and I basically just talked about that, how the Cubs had played there, how President Harding had pitched an inning out there, how it was obviously helpful for him because he did win the campaign just a few months later. But these kids were standing behind me listening, and I also sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game, by the way, how could you not? Being in the stands out there at Lincoln Park, I think that annoyed those kids that I would sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game because, you know, I'm not Pavarotti. But when we were done shooting the video, The kids came up and said, "Hey, what are you shooting that for?" And I explained to them that, hey, the field you're playing on, years ago, 1920, President Harding pitched, threw somebody out on this field, and the Chicago Cubs played the Kerrigan Taylors on this field. And you know what? These kids were actually interested, or at least they faked interest for me that day. And that was kind of fascinating, because then they were asking, well, where can I see the video of what you just shot, and where can I learn more about that story? And these kids were not that old. They were probably maybe teenagers. So, you know what? Hey, we imparted a little knowledge. You know, I think President Harding, because it's been so long, that story can get a little heavy for kids. But if you tie it to something like the Chicago Cubs, who are still around, and you tie it to baseball, and you tie it to Marion, and you tie it to a baseball field, I think it becomes more interesting for kids. So that's a lot of fun, and that was a lot of fun as well on Saturday. Then from Lincoln Park baseball field, went out to the GNR. Now, I had not been to the GNR in probably over 10 years in Waldo. And went there on Saturday for dinner, and it was kind of packed, to be honest with you. They don't have a whole lot of space there, but pretty packed on Saturday. And I will report that I did have the famous bologna sandwich. Now, I am not a bologna person. Some people say I'm full of bologna, but I'm going to say I'm not a bologna person. But I did have the famous bologna sandwich because I was at the GNR, and curly fries, and I think we had mozzarella sticks as well. But this bologna sandwich is very good because essentially, you know, it's a thick piece of ham, which is bologna, and it has mozzarella. It looks like mozzarella cheese melted on it, and sweet pickles, and I think lettuce. It's what was on it. But it was good. You know, for somebody who doesn't like bologna, hey, it did very well by me. And had, of course, had a Diet Pepsi, which it's interesting there. It is a throwback restaurant because they give it to you in cans. And you dump it into the cup. You dump your soda into the cup from the can. But as I say, the mozzarella sticks were good. The curly fries were good. The sandwich, the bologna sandwich was good. I think everything, the person with me, ate was good and had a lot of fun over at the GNR. And I had forgotten how close it is to Marion. You know, you get out on Delaware Avenue and you just go straight out and you're pretty much at the GNR in about 10 minutes. So I'm sure a lot of people from Marion go to the GNR still. Clearly, it took me more than a decade to get back out there, but I had a lot of fun at the GNR on Saturday. So that was my Saturday. The Sawyer Sanitarium, Del Taco, Lincoln Park, and the GNR. So Saturday, aside from doing the chores, the things I needed to do, I was able to get out and do a lot of fun things that I enjoy doing. So, does anybody have any questions or comments on any of that? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have any information in regard to the Sawyer Sanitarium? Does anybody have any thoughts on Del Taco? We've given away many Del Taco gift cards and beanies over the time that we've been here at this station. The Lincoln Park ball field, the Chicago Cubs coming here with President Harding throwing some strikes out that day from the pitching mound, and the GNR. Famous bologna sandwiches over in Waldo, Ohio. You know, I wonder why the GNR became famous. Because it is a tiny little place. It is in Waldo. But it has pretty much become really world famous. I mean, it's been featured on national cable television shows. It's been featured in newspapers and travel guides all around this country. What made the GNR so different? Was it the bologna? I don't know. I really don't know what makes it different. And by the way, they still don't accept cash over there. So you got, thank goodness they have an ATM machine. Because you have to, or they still don't accept credit cards, excuse me. They don't accept credit cards. Of course they accept cash. But that's an interesting thing. Now, what does GNR stand for? Now, there's a trivia question for you, for all you trivia buffs. What does GNR stand for? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. Hey. I just heard your little venture all over around parts of the interesting spots. You didn't spend much gas money, did you, going there and had a lot of fun?
Yeah, you know, I it was kind of strange because none of it was planned out because I thought I had a lot of stuff to do here in Marion on Saturday, which I did. But once we got going, hey, went to a lot of places that I had never been to.
Yeah, and do you know that when I was out there at Lincoln Park the other day and told you on the radio there that, did you notice if the press box was still up there? You know, I looked that thing over, but I was just reminiscing all the people my age and stuff, and Little League and stuff. There's thousands of kids that's played on that field, men, you know, and stuff, and there's a lot of us still around that played in that field. But was the press box still up there?
You know, I did not see it. It looked to me like the grandstand just kind of goes up. I didn't see one. Now, if it's up there, it must be small.
You know what? I'm going to make a point to check that out again. But I'm positive there was a press box where they announced the games up there and everything. And I remember when I was Little League, well, that would be in 52, they had, I can remember, the wooden fence back there. So I bet you 100-1 that was when Harding was there and participated there. And the team that you like, the Sox, they played out there. And is that correct?
The Cubs.
The Cubs, yeah. And I can remember walking around that fence, and there was knot holes and stuff in there where they said people look through that fence. Well, they had the Little League fence. They put a different type of fence way in, you know, so they could play there. But I'm pretty positive in 52 that part of that fence was still standing. So, yeah, that was a pretty neat place there with a kid growing up. And then you talked about it here many years ago. And, you know, that wasn't in 1920 and then 30 and then 40 and 52. So that wasn't too many years after that took place there. Young little guy like me was out there on the pitcher's mound.
Well, you know what was great about that, and I did, there was something like 5,000 people at that game that Harding pitched at. So the grandstand could not hold 5,000 people, so it wouldn't surprise me if people were looking through the fence. But that the kids out there on Saturday who were playing on the field while I was there, once they knew what I was doing and I told them that President Harding had been there and the Cubs had been there, boy, you know, they just wanted more information. They wanted to know where to look up information on that and how to see the videos and stuff. So I think sometimes you take President Harding and you put him in sports, people get interested.
Yeah, that's correct. And if you walk back, I think that Sawyer Lake is still back in there somewhere. I haven't been back there for years and years, but that was right there about that area where the sanitarium was. They had a grape arbor that went back there. Cement and led back in there. Well, it didn't go that far back in there, but long. I remember the grape arbor when I was a little kid. I'll have to get off here because you're going to sign off. I'll catch up with you next half, maybe.
Yeah, stick around.
Bye.
All right, yeah, we got a break coming up here, but I don't know if there's anything left of the Sawyer Sanitarium out in Sawyer Ludwig Park. You know, I felt like a parks director this past weekend. I was going to all the parks here in Marion. Sawyer Ludwig Park and Lincoln Park. And then up to the GNR for dinner. You know, it's nice to have a place like the GNR around that is kind of historic, very well known nationally. Like I say, I'm not a fan of bologna, but I had the bologna sandwich on Saturday. So, you know, it was worth it. Yeah, but and it's not very expensive. I'll tell you, honestly, for what restaurants are charging now, the GNR was not expensive at all for both of us who were there. So it was a lot of fun. We've got a break coming up here. Come back with us. We've got a whole nother hour, and maybe you can share your stories of anything we've talked about. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory,
I just fix my prayer to the real God. I say, man, they're awesome, Negroes.